I'm Eleanor. Gonna change gears a little bit, I guess, talk about a slightly different part of the world. Competition and dominance with stingless bees. So stingless bees are a group of eusocial bees. They're found worldwide throughout the tropics. They're particularly diverse in the neotropics. They're also closely related to honeybees and stingless bees and bumblebees. There are about over 400 species of them. Excuse me. And as you can maybe see here, they show a high degree of diversity. So obviously in how they look, in body size, in color, some morphological differences, also in traits like colony size, recruitment intensity, their foraging strategies, the aggression that they show, and the recruitment communication mechanisms that they use. These range from very simple all the way through functionally referential communication. And almost all stingless bee species are floral generalists, and in any one community you find multiple species. So these two facts taken together suggest that stingless bees should be in competition with each other. And here we see that two bees are in fact fighting over this, I believe it's an orange tree. And this is a Trigona species and a Melipona species. They're two common genera in the neotropics. And I'll be focusing on interspecific competition, which is when one species negatively affects another by consuming or controlling access to some resource that's limited in availability. The resource I'm particularly interested in is nectar. So it's really hard to study directly competition of bees because they fly and they forage over very large areas, and also the nests can be very hard to find and access. However, looking across the stingless bee literature, there is good support that these bees are in competition for floral resources. A number of studies have shown that the arrival of one species causes a change in visitation rates of other species. A bunch of stingless bee studies have also looked at aggression in these bees, which can be pretty charismatic, I guess you could say. So here we see a small Scaptotrigona bee is trying to drive off four larger Melipona quadrifasciata bees from this feeder. She's showing relatively mild aggression with just threats and little nips, basically, but they can also do prolonged biting, and in the most extreme cases, two bees will bite and wrestle, and both of them will end up dead. So you can see she did manage to kick off all four of those bees by herself, and then her nestmates came in and fed with her. So aggression is really fun and, you know, potentially important in these bees. And it's been the focus of most of the stingless bee studies that are looking at dominance. However, it's not necessarily the best measure of dominance or of the best way to predict competitive outcomes. So we took a different approach to try to take a first step towards determining the competitive dynamics of stingless bees using specifically a Brazilian community. We did this through quantifying several different dominance measures, then asked if there were any differences between individual and group level patterns, and probably more interesting, asked if what are the species traits that appear to be affecting dominant status. And in doing this, we developed several standardized bee dominance measures that will be very useful for future bee competition work. Most of this work was done at the Fazenda Aretuzina, a farm in the Sao Paulo state in Brazil. We set up an array of these artificial flowers here, which the bees quite happily feed at. Artificial feeders are commonly used in stingless bee studies because they greatly facilitate observation. These are the six species that we used. We had one colony of each species visiting our feeder array, and I'll talk more about their similar species traits in a few minutes. Looked at two different kinds of dominance. The first is ecological dominance, which is the species influence on the rest of the community relative to its abundance in that community. And since we were only looking at one resource at a specific point in time, we couldn't actually measure ecological dominance, but instead came up with several indicators of ecological dominance that, once expanded at the community level, will in fact show ecological dominance of each species. So we looked at colony-level resource drawdown, which is related to ecological impact, and then per capita resource drawdown, which is directly related to ecological dominance. We also measured behavioral dominance for each species. At the colony level or the group level, this is the ability to control access to some food source, and at the individual level, it's the ability to win fights. We also looked at what the bees are doing at flowers, observing this Dombeya tree here, and we found that one species, Trigona yalanata, was clearly the dominant species, but that other species were able to persist and continue foraging in small numbers as well. And at these flowers, we did see aggression. It ranged from very mild all the way through pretty high-level aggression. It's not as frequent as what you see at feeders, but the entire range of behaviors was present at flowers. So what we're seeing at feeders does, in fact, match with what the bees are doing in a natural setting. So going back to feeders, we found further support that stingless bees are competing for floral resources, and this is the first study that has looked at competition in Brazilian stingless bees also. So some of the trials, we removed some of the mass recruiting species, and whenever these species were removed, the other species showed an increase in resource drawdown relative to the trials where all bees were feeding. And this pattern is consistent with competitive release. Looking at behavioral dominance, at the individual level, we see we basically have our winners and our losers. But there are multiple species that can be considered behaviorally dominant, and there's no clear hierarchy. At the group level, however, only one species was dominating these feeders. A few species could have control of the feeder for a while, but in the end, it was always Trigona yalanata was far and away behaviorally dominant species. So what's happening at the group level does not match up exactly with what's happening at the individual level. And now on to the traits that are related to dominance. First, we'll look at group-level behavioral dominance. And there's two different traits that I'm going to talk about. The first is actually two correlated traits, so high recruitment intensity and large colony size. And we see that the species that are more behaviorally dominant also have higher recruitment intensity and larger colony size. The other factor is aggression. So aggression on this graph, the more aggressive species are larger data points. And you can see that, once again, the behaviorally dominant species are more aggressive. They show higher levels of aggression. Now moving on to ecological dominance, the story is not quite as clear here, but there are two factors, once again, that appear to potentially be affecting ecological dominance. And the first is body size. So over here we can see the variation in body size that existed between the bees I was looking at, and these are by no means the most extreme on either end for stingless bees. And what we see here is that our one large species, Melipona quadrifasciata, really did much better than the other species in terms of estimated per capita drawdown. And this makes sense. A large bee is basically able to, you know, tank up, and So being large basically most likely gives an edge in terms of exploitative competition. They can just take away more on one foraging trip. And once again, recruitment intensity and colony size show up. So the species that had the higher total drawdown, and also if you don't consider Melipona, higher per capita resource drawdown, are the species with higher recruitment intensity. And at the moment, we can't say anything conclusive about what traits are related to high ecological dominance. I think that the two factors, high recruitment intensity and large body size, are at this point in time, they're kind of confounding each other. And we're working on expanding this data set to include a much larger number of species, which hopefully will separate out these patterns. So overall, we showed that there are standardized measures that can be used for generating and testing hypotheses about competition in not just stingless bees, other bees, and potentially taxa such as nectarivorous birds. We found that individual and group level processes are different, and that recruitment intensity and colony size appear to be the major effectors of dominance, with aggression level playing some role, body size potentially playing some role for ecological dominance. And these results make sense when you consider stingless bees, where the colony is a superorganism rather than a collection of individuals. And in this mindset, then, it's the colony size and the group size at the foraging site rather than individual body size that should be predicting dominance of different species. Whereas in solitary bees, it's just body size. And so then we're going to use these results, and then we're in the process of looking at stingless bee dominance and competition across, as I said, many more species, and also on flowers, which has never been done before and is very exciting. And so from these results, hopefully we'll be able to really provide a whole lot more information about what's happening between bees in these communities and how bees are getting food. So thank you, and I will now take any questions.
Yeah, a lot of your data basically shows that there's displacements among these bees, and there's clear evidence for interference competition.
Oh, yes.
At that scale, but does it translate into sort of reductions in fitness? In other words, a lot of these behavioral displacements may not mean anything if the subordinate species, in fact, aren't, if their fitness isn't altered in terms of the number of cells that they've been in or something like that.
Right, so once we're able to look at flowers across a large area and across more time, by measuring ecological dominance, that should indicate whether there is a fitness effect as well, because as I said, the nests are really inaccessible.